Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5. Been a good day, amen? Amen. Could be worse days, I guess. Amen. So, Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 1. It's on page 1078 in my Bible. I don't know where it is in yours, but... All right, Luke chapter 5. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Here's the key word. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Father, I pray today that you might add your blessings to the preaching and the reading of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak today on the importance of biblical authority in our lives. The importance of biblical authority in our lives. Now, I realize that this passage probably could go several different ways and has been preached probably in many different ways. But I think the one of the themes possibly could be about listening, obeying, applying biblical authority in the life of the believer. How important should biblical authority be? Well, we know that the Word of God is our final authority. Amen? It is our final authority for faith and practice. Now, the world would like to say that your final authority is just for faith, not for practice. The world likes to say that you could be a believer in the church and in your home, but don't bring it to work. Don't bring it to the community. Don't bring it when you go to the voting booth. But I tell you that if this is my biblical authority for faith, it is also mine for practice. It is for life. Amen? And so we are to base our life, our decisions, our home, our church on the Word of God. Not man's opinions, not what the world wants us to do. You know, one of the reasons that our president is under fire for, number one, for a lot of reasons, but one of the major reasons, the enemy does not like. Now, the enemy is not the Democrats, although they're being used. The enemy is Satan. It's because our president is bringing about the Word of God in a real way. He's standing for pro-life. He shut down a lot of the funding to Planned Parenthood. Now, if you don't know this, you need to get on the news and not always Fox and CNN and those, but go to One News Now. Go to a Christian news agency and read, or get American Family Association Journal and read, or Wall Builders and read what's going on in our nation biblically, what God is doing through our president and our vice president. Well, that's not what I'm preaching on today, but anyways, we have no higher authority than the Word of God in God. It is our final authority. And so, and though it is our final authority, and we say we love the Bible, How come we don't consult the Bible more? How come we don't go to the Word of God more for comfort and for strength? Many times in Paul's writings, he talks about, he'll give a truth, and then he'll say, and especially in Corinthians, he talks about the comfort of God. Let this word comfort you. Let it strengthen you. And yet, we don't go to the Word of God like we ought to. The Bible has all the answers to man's greatest needs and smallest needs. I hear Christians say sometimes, I don't really want to bother God with the little things in my life. Why not? He made you. Amen. He knows all about you. He knows about your big problems, and they're all little problems to Him. But why not take everything to Him? Bring the good things to Him. Bring the sorrowful things to Him. Bring Him the hard things to Him that is hard to you. Bring everything to the Lord. Amen. And so the Word of God is our guide and our roadmap for our lives. In the story before us, we have a group of fishermen who'd fished all night and caught nothing. Well, I'm not a fisherman and I'm not a hunter, but I can think about those that may hunt all night and come up empty-handed. Fish all night and come up empty-handed. I can maybe understand a little bit, maybe their perspective. We had a man in Dawsonville that I always found it interesting. He would go hunting. He sacrificed family, church, everything to go look for a deer or a buck of some sort. And many times he'd come up empty-handed. And I'm sorry, I like to sleep at night. I think I'd rather be in the bed. And that's just me, but anyways. But these men had come up to the point there was nothing. I mean, they caught nothing. I mean, we're not talking about average once in 15 years fishermen like Robert Jacobs. The last time I went fishing, I threw the fishing pole and the, where they come together, it came off and went in the water. And I cut the line and said, I'm done. And so these were not average people. These were fishermen that knew their trade. This was their livelihood. They knew everything about boats and nets and fish and when to fish, when not to fish. And so we're not talking about average fishermen. They were no doubt professionals at what they did, but just had a bad night and they came up short. Well, that could be part of it, but I believe the other part, God had a plan in this. He had a purpose in them catching nothing. Amen? And so I love how God calls us. I love how God works in the picture of life. And we see here that God He's using this story, He's using this situation to call men unto Him. He's calling these men, these fishermen, these rough around the edges people to have a relationship with Him, to be in service with Him in the ministry. And I love how God gently but directly calls us. And if you look in the Old Testament and Samuel, in the story of Samuel, when God called him, God continually called until Eli showed him, hey, this isn't me calling you, but it's God. And when he calls again, say, here I am, Lord. God is calling today. Amen. God is working in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today. He is calling them to faith in Christ. He's calling them to service. I want you to know that God still calls. I don't care if you're 100 years old and still living. God still calls. God still uses you. God still has a plan and a purpose until He draws that last breath from you and takes you on to glory. Amen? God's Word is our final authority. His Word supersedes any man-made document or law. His Word is enough. Amen? And so notice, first of all, with me this morning, we see the request of Jesus. In verse 3 through 5, there's a request that He made of the disciples. A request to see how they might respond. Notice again verse 3 and 5. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. Jesus comes into our lives. He asks certain things of us. And he's very interested in our response. You may ask somebody something, and you You might halfway be listening, halfway not, and you really ought to be listening when you're talking to somebody, right? It's like we went through the drive-thru this morning, and Jesse orders something from McDonald's on the way here. That's our quick breakfast. And the lady, she added something we didn't even order. And then we get to the window, and it was an ordeal. And they want $15 an hour. Anyways, but you know, when Jesus comes in our lives and He asks us of something, He's looking for a response from us. He's seeing how we will respond. Now, just in the story, Jesus gradually asks the disciples for something. And he asks for the disciples' obedience, and that's usually the way God's Word speaks to our heart. What was the first thing He asked them? Well, He said, number one, let's get into the boat. That wasn't a big thing to ask. Hey, let's get in the boat. Can we get in the boat? Amen? That's easy. It's easy to ask. And that's how the Lord, He didn't come all the way and say, Caleb, I want you to go to China tomorrow for missions. Well, you know, there's training involved. There's preparation involved. There's a calling. There's a work. You just don't move to China tomorrow for missions. Amen? And so it's little steps. Let's get into the boat. That's the easiest thing. Number two, He said, then He asked them to take the boat out in the deep, in the part of the lake. Go out into the where it's deep. And so, again, that's a simple thing. Take the boat out, go a little further out. Number three, He finally asked them to cast their nets down. Let me ask you, as simple as this is, as simple message as this is, the Lord asked them to do something. And He waited for them to respond. They could have said, Lord, don't you know, and Peter does give rebuttal in a few minutes, but, Lord, I'm really tired. I have worked all night. It's useless. I'm not doing it. I think about a church I pastored in Statesboro. This past week, I had an interview for supervisor, and they asked me a scenario question. They asked me, what is one thing that you did in leadership that you got the people on board and it was a success? And I said, well, can I use anything from not just law enforcement? Can I use when I pastor? They said, sure. So I shared the story that came to my mind. When I pastored in Statesboro, our church was probably about the size of this, maybe a little, I don't know, a little more, a little less, I don't remember. But nonetheless, they came to me and said, but preacher, you know, we have a children's ministry, but it just always falls apart. So I began praying, and I said, okay, let's plan on getting involved and doing Awanas for our church. Awana means approved workmen are not ashamed, okay, of the Word of God. And so I got a team together, people volunteered, and one lady said to me, preacher, we've tried all sorts of things here, and it just doesn't work. It falls apart. So we got a team together, we sent them to training, they came back, we implemented Awanas on Wednesday nights, we still had Bible study going on. We had children's ministry, youth ministries going on. But we had Awanas that just kind of, and God really blessed. In that first year, we had 21 saved through Awanas. And a couple of them were parents. Amen? And so I shared this with the people that were interviewing me. And I said, you know, it was all of God. That's all I got to say. But here's the other thing. They are still doing Awanas. And that's been since 2003. And my point here is, wouldn't you like to do something great for God in your life? I mean, we all come to church. We read our Bibles. But certainly there's got to be more than just going to church and reading our Bibles, right? I mean, Do you want to stand before the Lord? One of the songs we sing about laying down our crowns. Do you want to stand before the Lord just saying, well, Lord, at least I went to church? Or would you like to say, Lord, I really thank you for using me in great ways in my life? See, you don't have to be a preacher, a missionary, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a choir member. But God can use you in great ways where you work, where you live, for Him. He can use you in great ways in the church as well. But I thought about this. I would like to leave my life one day knowing that God was able to use me in great ways. See, Jesus told the church at Philadelphia in Revelation 3:8, He said, I have set before you an open door. You know, church, I think about the open doors we have as a church. There are no closed doors. We can go out and do ministry. We can be a part of missions. And missions, I was telling Patricia, my whole mindset of pastor, how I pastored and how I do ministry and missions, all that changed when we went to Lighthouse. God has just changed me different. I look at missions different. I look at ministry different. I look at church different. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But, you know, we have an open door of opportunity in this church to reach further, do greater. You know, the very thing of taking what seems like such a innocent, small thing to take cookies to law enforcement and say, oh, that's nothing. It means a lot. It means a lot because they go out, they see the worst of life, they experience the worst of life, and they got to somehow pull on. But to know that a church in our community that they serve and protect loves them and cares enough about them to bring them something. See, that's a small ministry, it is, but it's an effective ministry. We don't know how many we'll reach by them, if we'll reach any. But if nothing else, they'll know that we are a church that cares. We have an open door to reach further, to go to do greater. And yet it takes a desire, a step of obedience. And that's what Peter did. It was a step of obedience, a care enough to put the things of Christ in greater value than personal pleasures. The Lord wants to use you in greater ways. But like these fishermen, they had to release control. Did you know that one of the greatest problems and I'm going to share this, because I used to be a Southern Baptist pastor. One of the greatest problems in the Southern Baptist Convention churches is control. Did you know that? That's why more pastors leave in the last year and a half to 2 years of their churches is because there's some big person in the church or some family that wants to control the pastor, wants to control the church. And it's sad in this nation that we have 5,800 Southern Baptist churches where a lot of pastors are leaving because there's a control and they won't allow the work of God going. Do you know why Jesus left many towns? It's because the control. Because people rejected Him, number one. Because, that's what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They want a control of this religion. They want a control of people's lives to choke them with religion. Jesus comes to give life. Amen? And listen, when it comes to religion, I don't want any part of it. When it comes to life, I want all of it. I want to jump in the swimming pool of it. Amen? And so, so the Lord wants to use you. But you've got to release control. And this is the case. He asked them simple things. Launch out into the deep. It seemed like a little thing to us. But it was a step of obedience. If Peter would listen to the Lord enough to step out, to launch out, to take the nets out one more time. See what God is doing here? He is gradually unfolding His will to them. And this is how it is in our lives. God does not give us step 1, 2, 3, 4 all at once. Why? Because He knows we'd quit. He knows we would fail. He knows we would try to do it in our strength. And God doesn't work that way. He just gradually unfolds His will. As we take a step, He opens up another door. When we take the next step, He opens up greater doors. Amen? And so, and yet, there's got to be a desire. There's got to be a desire. I know these fishermen were tired. They've been out all night. And yet, their desire to see what this man named Jesus would do. Maybe some curiosity there. And so number two, we see that not is there just a request of the disciples, but number two, there's a challenge set before them, a challenge to trust and obey. In verse 5 and 7, and Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. I can almost see their eyes, Brother Ken. Oh, my word. Wow, where did all these fish come from? Man, it was a great catch. When you surrender the control, and you surrender your desires, and you say, okay, Lord, I want to do more, I want to be more. You'll see the catch that begins to happen in your life. You'll see what God wants to do in your life. Jesus challenges us to obey Him in the most important areas of our lives. Interesting enough, when He came into their lives, He talked to them about something they understood. He's not going to talk to you about something you don't understand, but He's going to come and meet you personally, where you are, about you and your situation. He knows about you. He may ask you about something you're already involved in. How to use it for Him. How to use your life for Him. And then He began to make requests of them. Requests that were very important to their lives. Things they already knew about. But the question was, could they trust Him? Could they obey Him in the areas which they already knew something about? And you know, this is one of the greatest areas of struggle that we want to control. We want to take it. We want to say, Lord, these are my skills. I know this, Lord. And yet, we just need to release it. Lord, I only have it because You gave it to me. I only have it because of You've given me the gifts to be the person that You called me to be. We have to be willing, not grumbly willing. Oh, well, I don't want to do it, but I guess I will. I'd rather people stay home than come to church with that kind of attitude. Amen? We need a willingness than a grumbling willingness, if there is such. I guess there is, but a willingness to trust Him. We have probably dealt with people before that they thought they knew more than us in certain areas about our job and so forth, and it's tough dealing with those people, and you just have to just ask God to give you grace through it. But the Lord knew everything about these fishermen. He knew everything about their job, and yet He gives them a command to thrust out. And see, they had to trust Him. They had to obey Him. But then number three, we see the problem. Verse 5, again, and Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night. See, we often struggle in the areas where we have control and experience. Isn't it funny how we often we think others ought to obey? We think others ought to do that job in the church? We think others ought to serve in the nursery? We think others ought to run the sound? We think others ought to show up for visitation? We think others should be in the choir? But yet, we always dismiss and give excuses of why we can't serve, why we can't be on mission, why we can't be involved in a children's ministry or be involved in an adult ministry. Or we could create a youth ministry here if that's what God so leads for our church. But, you know, it's always about how, well, that person would be great about it. Well, what about you? Amen? We often struggle with those areas. And the sad truth is, Peter struggled in the very area that he had control and experience of it. Notice, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And we are the same way. We calculate the numbers. We say we can't do it. We say we can't give. We say we can't survive. We can't be involved in that. It's just not me. Well, there's a lot of things that's just not me that I've done, amen, that you may have done. And so, yet God walks right into our lives, tells us to do something that we thought we were already doing, and then we responded with, Lord, I don't think I need a lesson in this area. And God says, wait a minute, yes, you do. And so the truth is, we need God's Word. We need to hear from Him. How many of you listen to the radio going to work? Or in the morning, you get up. What's the first thing you do? Well, let's see what's on TV today. Hey, I know the other thing. Let's check Facebook. Who's all guilty of that? I raise my hand too. Amen? But how many of us really get up and say, what does God's book have to say to me today? See, I think a lot of times we can't overcome the problems in our lives is because we don't have the Word of God in our lives. We could tell people everything that's going on in the world on Facebook. And I like Facebook because I connect with family that I don't connect with very much, and friends and so forth. But and it's a great tool to witness to people too, by the way. But this book helps you become a better believer, a stronger believer. And so we need to be in the book, amen? We need the truth of God in our life. Number four, we are called to give God's Word final authority in every area. Notice again, Peter says in the last part of verse 5, here he is, he's given an excuse, we toiled all night, then he says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, this is true, even if it doesn't make sense at all. Peter knew fishing, he had stated his case, and even though it didn't make a lot of sense to him, he said, I will do it. I will do it, Lord. Okay, Lord, I will do it. I will do it. What Peter was really saying was that even though it doesn't make sense, even though I can't add it together, even though I just can't figure out how it's going to work, God, I'll give you place that you're my final authority, and I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. It's a simple story. The psalmist calls us to meditate on God's Word day and night. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Word. See, the Word of God ought to be changing us. What used to be difficult for us as early believer when we faced a trial should be a lot easier today as we grow in grace and truth. Amen? What really might have rattled our cage a long time, now, there's going to be mountains that rattle our cage still. Amen? There's going to be stuff that, man, I tell you, you wonder how you're going to get through it. But there are some things in our life we have already gone through that God has brought us through that we ought to be on the other side of that, able to help others when they go through it. See, sometimes we go through problems not because we have sinned and not because we live in a sinful body, but sometimes we go through trials because God wants to use us for greater glory so that we can help others and many times point them to Him. Amen? And so we need Him. And so, what are the results when we make His Word final authority? Well, number 6 and 7, we see there's the consistent obedience produces consistent results. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. The disciples discovered something wonderful when they released control and trusted God. That day when they brought up their nets so full, the nets began to break and the boats began to sink. The results they received were based upon obedience to Jesus' word. Dr. Adrian Rogers once said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, knows the unknowable, and receives the impossible. Faith is taking God at His word. These men put their faith in God who does the impossible, and oh, what a catch of fish. But see, it was more than a catch. God was getting them ready for the next big step of leaving their livelihood behind and following Him. Now, I'm thankful God still calls men into ministry, amen, into missions. But you know, there's more than just preaching and pastoring and missions. God is calling you every day where you work, where you live, where you enjoy, where you have your vacation time, to be the person He wants to use to make a difference in others. In verse 10 through 11, Jesus then began calling these men to ministry. And what was their response? Verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. Not some. They didn't say, Lord, let me go have a vacation first. Let me go take my family to Walt Disney. Lord, let me go to the mountains, Lord. Let me go to the beach. Let me go have fun first, God. Let me finish building my house, Lord. He said, they forsook all and followed Him. A preacher in North Georgia, pastor at Lighthouse, he said they were in there. He was pastor in Atlanta at the time, University Baptist Church, and he said that they had remodeled their house. They just totally remodeled their house. And he said, in the midst of they're almost done with their house, he said, God spoke to his heart and said, I want you to move to Dawsonville and start a church. That was 20 years ago. And a church where there was very little independent Baptist churches, they went up there and they started a church, and God led them to a place called the Fisherman's Net Cafe. And God began to grow that church out of there. But he said, Robert, we never lived one day in that remodeled house. See, sometimes we make our plans. And we say, you know, we're going to do this today and we're going to do this tomorrow. And yet we don't ever take in consideration that God may not have plans for you to build a house. God may not have plans for you to live in that house. God may not have plans for you to stay in that job. God may use you in a different way and may want to take you and use you in greater ways. God may want to do greater things here at Trinity, but maybe He just can't because we're not willing to release control. We're not really ready. We don't have a desire, maybe. Three things I want you to see, and we'll close. Number one, even when I don't understand God's word, we must trust Him. Amen? Even when you don't understand God's word, you must trust what He says is true and believes He knows the right way. Number two, although it seems illogical, I must obey what God said. Even though the world says it's stupid, even though the world says it's crazy, even though the world thinks you're just a fanatic. And you know, I don't know about you, but the peer pressure from the world is real. Amen? Even though they say we're crazy, even though they say you can't do it, it might seem just out of the box. Nevertheless, I will trust what God has to say and God's plan for my life. Number three, While humans' opinions vary, God's Word is right on every subject. The Word of God is so important in the life of the believer, it is profitable for us, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. Amen? The Word of God equips us for the work He's called us to. And in that work, we give glory to Him. So, it wasn't a doctrinal message. It wasn't a real illiterate, nonetheless, it was a message, I think, that we need to hear, that we need His Word in our life. And we need to listen to what He is saying to us through His Word. And one thing He told the seven churches, all of them, He said at the very end, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." See, God wants to work in our life. He wants to work in our church. But we got to let Him have say-so. Amen? And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, the very first step you need to do, and if He's calling, He's pricking your heart, you know it's Him, first thing you need to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. Save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Make me the person You want me to be." And if you're a believer, however God's dealing with your heart today, however God wants to use you, however God wants to use Trinity, may we say, "Okay, Lord, it's not my church, it's Your church. You died for it. I just want to be a blessing. I want to be used in greater ways for Your glory." Lord, I pray today that as we come to a time of commitment, Father, and I know, Lord, that often it's that still, small voice. A lot of times we don't hear because we're too busy listening to everyone else's voice. We're too busy listening to the radio, too busy reading the paper, too busy watching TV, that we don't take time long enough to hear what You have to say to our hearts. And maybe we miss out on ministry and miss out on what You're doing. It's because we've not heard You. We don't have a desire. Help us to yield our desires. Help us to yield our control to Your authority in our lives. May we be obedient. May we bring You honor. And I pray, God, that You'd bless during this invitation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.